Thank you for that. Welcome back to the show. Rick Tittle with you, nationally syndicated out of San Francisco and around the world on the American Forces Radio Network. Always great to catch up with Amy Trask, the former CEO of the Raiders, the first ever female to be in such a capacity, now an analyst with CBS Sports and a podcaster. Amy, I see you're a Shrine Bowl advisory as well, and staying involved in the game, it's just in your blood, isn't it?
Well, it's been an entire very, very, very long career in the industry, and I am just thrilled to continue to participate.
Now, speaking of, I'm going to talk about the Raiders just a little bit here, and I know you were discussing, and a lot of this thought this when Pete Carroll came aboard, of maybe Russell Wilson leaving Pittsburgh and joining the Raiders in Vegas. First of all, a two-pronged question. Russ, second part, Pete Carroll at 74 once the season starts. What do you think?
Well, I'll answer those in reverse order, and I just want you to know that this girl with a law degree is resisting every urge not to object based on that being a compound question. But that teasing aside, I'll answer those in reverse order. I'm not the slightest bit concerned with his age. I shared this on CBS Sports when he was hired. I was asked about his age. I was asked about him taking a year off. You know what? Warren Buffett is 94, and Sean Payton took a year off. Doesn't seem to have hurt either one of them, Warren Buffett as to age, Sean Payton as to the year off. I don't think the age is a concern. I think the year off may actually be to his benefit, so I'm not troubled by either of those issues. Oh, and yes, your other question was as to Russell Wilson. I'm going to echo what Pete said yesterday when he joined Susie Schuster and me on What the Football, which is, you know, wait a minute, whoa, and I'm using my words, not Pete's words. I'm not quoting him, but whoa, you know, this is a process. It's just starting, and there's a lot to think through and sort through. He acknowledged that that position needs to be addressed, but that it's too soon to dive into any sort of specifics in that regard. Now, that said, I will tell you, I've always been a Russell Wilson fan, but that's me talking, not Pete. I wouldn't speak for someone else.
Now, when Pete was talking, and of course, we know him around these parts from going back to Redwood High and stuff, but he said, he acknowledged that, you know, there are a lot of fans from the other team in Vegas. And just your thoughts on someone who, I mean, I remember being before the game on the field when Goodell was there and you were like introducing him to people, and JT and the Brick and I were there, and I didn't want to get into the line, and then JT was bold and he jumped the line, which I thought was good for him. But just of all the time you spent with that family, with the Oakland, with the fan base, them being in Vegas now, is it still a wound that hasn't healed for you, or have you moved on?
Well, I'm going to answer that in a couple ways, but first I've got a note about that time I spent with Roger at the stadium on the field pregame. Roger also started that game sitting in the black hole. So, you know, tip of the hat to Roger Goodell. I said, you got to sit in the black hole for a portion of the game if you really want this experience. And he did, and he had a wonderful time, and our fans in the black hole were wonderful and treated him wonderfully. Look, the team moved. I guess I'm going to answer your question in two ways. For those fans who are thrilled with the relocation and who are traveling to games from anywhere in the country or otherwise and who have embraced the change, I'm happy for them. And, of course, for the fans who are heartbroken by the move, I'm heartbroken for them as well. That there are so many fans of the visiting team at home games is not a surprise, and this is something I shared on CBS Sports prior to the move. Yes, I said, I was talking future tense then. I said, yes, it's going to be a magnificent stadium. Now I will say it is a magnificent stadium. But the fact is, if you are the fan of a team playing the Raiders on the road, and you can only go to one game to root on your team at a road game, a lot of people are going to pick Vegas. Come on, we all saw Vegas Vacation with Chevy Chase, right? And yes, I just admitted on Armed Forces Radio that I saw Chevy Chase in Vacation.
Sure.
It was Vacation and Vegas Vacation. The point being, if you can only go to one game to root on your team on the road and your team is playing in Vegas, that is going to attract a lot of fans from another team, and that is not in any way and should not be seen to be critical of Raider fans. They are still traveling there, And for those fans who are happy with the move, happy for them. And those fans who are heartbroken, I'm heartbroken for them.
So for you going back, like when I, the Super Bowl is always my age. So I got to go to Super Bowl 15 when I was 15. My dad had season tickets and that was fantastic. For you, when I was in high school, you were at Cal. And so when you were at Cal, did you go to the Coliseum? I mean, they were the best team. They finally got past the Steelers. They finally won the Super Bowl 11, and then to get to 15 and win with Plunkett. Were you going from Berkeley on BART to the Coliseum?
Yes, I was going to the Coliseum. No, I didn't take BART. And by the way, very nice of you just to let the world know that I am, in fact, older than you. That was very well done.
Sorry.
Yes, I fell in love with the Raiders when I was a student at Cal. I loved the game of football from the time I was in junior high, but didn't have a particular affiliation with an NFL team or a particular affinity for an NFL team. I fell in love with the Raiders when I was at Cal. I fell in love with everything about the organization. You know, you would watch team buses pull up at road games when you were watching games on television, and the doors would open and players of other teams would get off the bus and they'd be wearing suit coats or blazers and carrying briefcases. And then you'd see the Raider team bus pull up and everyone just spilled out looking like they were wearing what they wore the night before, and they went on the field and they won. And, you know, one of the things that attracted me to the team, I guess I'll say this is the primary thing, Al Davis didn't care if you were a behavior problem. I was labeled a behavior problem in kindergarten. That label stayed with me through 12th grade, and there are many people who would tell you it is still an appropriate label. Well, he didn't care if you were a behavior problem. He didn't care if other people thought you were trouble, and that's what I was called a lot, trouble. He just wanted you to do your job. I love that about the team. He, of course, hired without regard to race or gender or any other individuality, which has no bearing on whether one can do a job. And I owe my career to the fact that he did so.
I always wanted to ask you this, too, because at the time I was at 95.7, and when Al died, and I had Greg on the phone, Greg Papa from Houston, and he was crying. And it was such disarray. And then the deal was done for Carson Palmer. Two ones or a one and a two, and they said, well, who's running it? Is Amy running it? Is Hugh Jackson running it? Like, I always wanted to ask, how did that trade go down, and did you pull all the strings there?
It certainly wasn't me pulling all the strings. It was collaborative in how it happened, but it was Hugh's decision. After the game in which our quarterback was hurt, I was up doing what I did after games, and, you know, you saw me after games. I had responsibilities, and someone said, Hugh needs to see you right now. Get to the locker room. And in the locker room in the Coliseum was a certain little area that was for the head coach. And they said, go find Hugh, he needs you right now. And Hugh said, you know, he clued me in on the severity, the extent of the injury to the quarterback. We all knew it appeared to be a big deal, but he had confirmed with our doctors and trainers, you know, we need a quarterback.
I'll just throw it in. I think it was Jason Campbell, broken collarbone.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah. I should have said that. I just was sort of...
Just throwing that in.
Well, I'm glad you did. I was getting a little choked up as I talked, so I forgot to throw it in. And so Hugh said, I want to get Carson Palmer. So leaving the stadium, I'm in my car going home, and I called Katie Blackburn from the Bengals and said, and the funny thing is, it's not funny. The interesting thing, I guess I'll say, wry is another good word. When I called, hey, Katie, Amy Trask, yeah, I thought you might be calling. We saw the game. So that's how it happened. It was Hugh's decision, and he asked me to effectuate it, and we all worked on it together collaboratively as businesses should.
I remember going to the press conference for Palmer, who was at home in L.A. and said, I got enough money, I don't need to play football anymore. And I said, you know, the Raiders paid a high price. You do care about football, right? And he went, oh, yeah. And I went, okay, I'm just checking to make sure. And the other thing is, too, I want to, Amy, and of course, lovingly known as the Princess of Darkness with the Raiders, and you were known as the kind of the glue that held the whole thing together. And when you left, I guess about 10 years ago, and you look at the state of the franchise right now, and we'll see what this guy Spytek does, whatever. But I mean, what was it when you left and things literally kind of fell apart?
Well, thank you for using and for referencing my nickname, the Princess of Darkness. I will forever cherish that. It was not bestowed upon me as a compliment. It was perceived to be by, or believed to be, an insult by those who bestowed it upon me. I loved it. Raider Nation loved it. We embraced it. I will cherish it forever, and I need you to just know that you should be a little bit afraid of me. I certainly can't speak to what happened after I left, as I wasn't there. My decision to leave was the hardest decision I've ever made in my life, and I realize that speaks to how fortunate I've been in my life that I haven't had to make harder decisions. But it was the right decision for me, and I don't know Spy Tech. I do know Pete Carroll, and I just, as I've said repeatedly on CBS Sports since the hire, I like the hire of Pete Carroll. I think he brings a maturity, a stability, enthusiasm, energy. I think he will be good for the organization. And I'm not in any way suggesting by a negative pregnant that Spy Tech won't. I simply can't comment on him.
Right. And I'll leave you with this. The only time I might have been kind of scared of you, when I was a Raider at Judge twice, and I remember we were having a lunch break and you were sitting at my table and you said, hey, maybe we can have like Zumba classes, you know, at the Alameda facility. And you were talking to some other people and you said, anyone who brings in their camera to the Zumba gets fired. And I was like, ooh, geez. I think you were kind of kidding, but I was like, I don't want to get on her bad side.
Maybe I was. Maybe I wasn't. Because let me tell you this. Ain't no one ever going to get to film me doing anything. You know, I'll just leave you with this. At the outset of the COVID lockdown, at the outset of the pandemic, I said to my husband, you know what? I think I'm going to do a TikTok. And he said to me, I will take your phone and lock it up and hide it and save you from ever putting yourself dancing, singing on TikTok or otherwise. And that was the same theory in which I said, no cameras at the Zumba.
Very good. Amy Trask, the What the Football podcast, CBS Sports analyst online or media. You can check her out like Twitter, Amy Trask. Always great having you on. Thank you so much. And let's catch up soon.
Let's do that. Thank you for having me. It's always my honor and pleasure to join you.